we go now, baby. We are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Monday edition of Before You Bet, airing live right now on the covers, YouTube, and action channels. If you're watching on YouTube, smash that like and that subscribe button right down there. You're going to want to be following the covers YouTube channel here because we're going to have an absolute avalanche of content to get you guys ready for, what is it, Super Bowl 58? I believe Eagles, Chiefs running it back. Some people complaining about the matchup. Guys, don't complain about the Super Bowl matchup. What are you going to do? Boycott the game? Not watch it? I'm excited for it. Lots of big time players, a lot of history on the line, a lot of great storylines going into this one. So embrace the Mahomes, the Kelce's, the Jalen Hurts, the Saquon Barkley. It should be a good game. It should be a fun 2 weeks to prepare for it. Our coverage for the game is going to start on today's show. We're going to be with you right up until the final whistle of the game. Okay, if you guys want to participate in the show today, very easy to do so. Hit up that live chat. We got a couple of fellas in there right now. T. Lee says, Joe. Kyle Wingham says, hit that like button, people. Do what Kyle says. Kyle's a smart man. And Jigglypuff says, very, very sad day for my Buffalo Bills, but the Samaji Perine bet was brilliant. We'll talk more about that. Yeah, it was sad watching Josh Allen walk off that field. 0-4 against the Chiefs in the playoffs. The Bills 0-4 in their last four Super Bowl appearances back in the 90s. What feels worse, Bills fans? Let me know. Hit up that live chat. Who are you taking to win the Super Bowl? Straight up. Who's winning the game here in 2 weeks? So we're going to get into the NFL here in a matter of seconds. And we got some NBA, too, in the second segment of the show. So let's get into the NFL. Recap what we saw yesterday with our guy, the man with the sexiest smile in all of sports betting. He's in a great mood. Jingles, how'd the betting go over the weekend?
Good. It was good. I wanted the Bills to win, but we hit some wins. They finally let James Cook run the ball in the second half, so that was good. We had that one going. We had him for a TD, him for 60, him for 60 plus a TD. So cleaned up there. Both teams to score 20 minus 115 in that Bills game. Kind of in hindsight, looks like an easy one. I hit the first game in that same bet too, put them together for a personal side. So betting wise, it was good. And you kind of feel bad. Like, who are you feeling more bad for? Like, yes, Josh Allen struggled. He's been running into a gauntlet. Like, if he was born in any other time, maybe we talk about him in a different vein than somebody else, but like Jaden Daniels had zero help in that game. Every time he got the ball, like his team was in a bigger hole, like fumbles, defense. I've never seen a team just fail their quarterback like I saw that
game. Yeah, that was pathetic. More on that here shortly. But from a Jaden Daniels perspective, they shouldn't even have been there. So don't feel an ounce of badness for him whatsoever. But for the Bills, yeah, it's kind of sad, you know, just can't get over the hump. And I just knew it with, you know, we're halfway through the fourth quarter. It's a close game. The Bills might have even been leading at this point. And I just knew they're not winning this game. Simple as that, right? My bets go 3-2. I really wish I could get that Commanders one back. I overthought that one. I took them plus 6 to cover the spread. But the most electrifying bet I hit all season, Samaji Perine. I talked about it on the show. I did a big tweet about it. His longest reception, over 6.5 yards. Completely forgot about him. Final play of the game. They throw in the ball. He goes for 17 yards. And it clicks. They say his name. Wait a minute. My bet hit. That felt absolutely fantastic. A couple people hit me up there on X about that one. So congrats if you tailed. Okay, let's get into it. Our biggest winners and losers out of the weekend. Let's start positive. Let's be nice. Let's give credit to those who deserve it. My biggest winners of the week, it's that duo for the Philadelphia Eagles, Barkley and Hurts. So you need your best players to be at their best in the biggest games of the season. And these two guys put that team on their back and carried them to victory. They were absolutely incredible, leading the team to 55 points on 7 yards per play. The two of them were responsible for 7 touchdowns, 6 of those rushing. Hurts threw another one. Barkley really set the tone early on. First play of the game, takes off for 60 yards, a touchdown on that one. Jalen Hurts played clean football. That is winning football, what we saw from the Philadelphia Eagles, and those two are the reasons why. They absolutely demolished the Commanders yesterday. Second biggest winner, Chiefs Kingdom. What I mean by this is the Chiefs fan base. What a time it is to be a Chiefs fan. Chiefs fans, do not take this for granted for 1 second. Do you know how rare it is for a fan base to get to experience this? Do you know how very few fans get to experience something like this in their lifetimes? Absolutely incredible. So the anticipation, they get this 2-week buildup for the big game. They're experiencing this for a third straight season. Most fans considering it a win if their team makes the playoffs. Look at me, a Miami Dolphins fan. Our biggest wins over the past couple of seasons have been, oh, hey, you beat the Dallas Cowboys on Christmas Eve 2 years ago at home. That was electrifying for me. You guys are going to the Super Bowl, so do not take it for granted. And my third biggest winner of the week is the people who just bet Mahomes. You know, we have all these people with your fancy analytics and your fancy numbers and trying to apply different sorts of logic to your handicapping. And you got another segment of people who are just like, I'm betting on the side that has Patrick Mahomes. Simple as that. Not a lot of thought, no work whatsoever goes into it. But it's a winning process. The Kansas City Chiefs are 17-3 in the playoffs under Mahomes, 14-6 ATS, 7-0 against the spread when the spread is inside of 3 points. Just bet Mahomes. Fuck your analytics, your logic. It doesn't matter. Just bet Mahomes. Simple as that. Jingles, who are your biggest winners of the week?
You took a few of them. You get the first dibs, and then
only
I jump
games.
In. I know, yeah. So that's it. I don't want to overlap too much, but like digging into it, QB rushing TDs minus Josh Allen. If you had a Josh Allen rushing TD, I'm sorry about it. But if you hit any of the other quarterbacks, then you cashed in. Hurts, 3 touchdowns, 16 yards rushing, 2 TDs was plus 450, 3 TDs, 17-1. The true odds of Saquon getting 3 and Hurts getting 3 was around 171. So the multiplier should have made that bigger. I don't know anybody who hit that. Jaden Daniels scores a nice one. He was plus 215 to score. And then Patrick Mahomes out of nowhere, plus 500 rushing TD or just a regular TD. And then 24-1 for 2 TDs. So if you backed them, you cashed in big time. Chiefs, one possession game. Remember that trend we were talking about? Like back in maybe late November, early December. It still exists. The Chiefs, 17 straight games winning. One possession games dating back to last year, 12 straight this year. And this is how much it hurts Josh Allen to play as well as he does, but then to run up against Patrick Mahomes, as Joe says, is you don't need analytics to back him. He just wins. Since 2020, playoff teams with 4 TDs, 0 turnovers are 21-2 straight up, Joe. Who are those two losses? Yesterday's Bills game, 2021 Bills Chiefs divisional game. That's how good Patrick Mahomes and this offense has been. Even when teams play perfect, they're beating them. And why don't we show a little love to some guys who maybe don't get as much attention to Kellen Moore and Matt Nagy, especially Matt Nagy. We were talking about coaches, coordinators who turn coaches who aren't good coaches, but then go back to coordinators who maybe are good coordinators. I know it's Andy Reid's system, and he just maybe he's a puppet in terms of like how you say things, like guys who fit systems well, don't do too much, just fit in, get your paycheck, and blend in with everybody. That's kind of what Matt Nagy in this offense, I mean, they couldn't be stopped. I mean, obviously, Buffalo had that big banged up secondary, but plus 2 yards per pass versus Buffalo. They're 60% on third and fourth downs. You saw how creative they were in sealing that game, right? Samaje Perine, they had to blow the dust off him on the game sealing play. They're like, no, we can bring him in. That's it. And let's not forget, like, they finally got this Philadelphia passing game going. 7 yards per play in that game. It was nice to see. I know there was a lot of hard feelings about, well, Jalen Hurts is banged up. A.J. Brown hasn't really done anything offensively, but they got that one going. And with 2 weeks, that offense could be scary when that passing game's going.
Kellen Moore in line, apparently, to get the Saints job, potentially. I guess they're flying up to Philadelphia to interview him in person here today. Okay, let's get into our biggest losers of the week. Let's be mean. Let's be negative. Let's give shit to who deserves a bit of shit here after what we saw yesterday. And we have this trio for the Buffalo Bills who are responsible for them losing that game. Head coach McDermott, the offensive coordinator Joe Brady, and tight end Kincaid. So that's a choke from the Buffalo Bills. It's as simple as that. Their play calling was spotty throughout the entire game, especially when it went right down to the wire towards the end of the game. a couple of failed two-point conversions. Their version of the tush push absolutely sucks, and they kept running it. It's not a quarterback sneak if everyone knows it's coming. Everyone knows it's coming from the Eagles, but they perfected it. They kept going back to the well. This stupid play call, they had a lot of them. They had a fade on the goal line there towards the end of the game. And on 3rd and 10, with 2:17 left on the clock, they throw a screen pass to Amari Cooper. What the hell was that? Then on the next play, 4th down. At the 2-minute warning. Now, how great was this? The anticipation going into this play, because it's a 2-minute warning. We go to commercial. Everyone knows it's the biggest play of the season coming up. That was absolutely fantastic. A lot of people, if you're like me, you stood up to watch that play. And biggest play of Josh Allen's career. Pass rushers breathing down his throat. Great play call by Spags. We'll give him credit for that. And he still makes a good play. He throws the ball. He gives Dallas Kincaid an opportunity to make a play on the ball. Hits him right in the hands. I would have caught it. He did not. And the game was pretty much over at that point. Second biggest loser of the week. Everyone's killing the referees. I'm not going to do it. Yes, every 50-50 call went the way of the Kansas City Chiefs. You cannot really debate that. But what about this archaic system for determining first downs or determining where the ball is at on the field? Guys, it's 2025. We're sending robots to Mars, for fuck's sakes. Meanwhile, in the NFL, they have these senior citizens that they hire to be the referees to determine the correct placement of where the ball is at on the field. Can we not rely on technology a little bit here? Put a microchip in the ball. Tennis does it. I believe Major League Baseball has some sort of a version of it. Meanwhile, the NFL's got the chain gang. And these guys who are 60 years old determining where the ball should be on the field, that one probably costs the Buffalo Bills. I think they got the first down on the first part of it, and then they go for it with their stupid tush push, which are a little bit too casual, but they probably went over. But the referees blew that. And my third biggest loser of the week, on an ordinary week, these guys would be the biggest loser of the week. It's basically everybody on the Commanders, except for Ertz. And Daniels, of course, McLaurin had a really good play, but they were just totally unprepared from the get-go, from the start of that game. Start with their first drive of the game. They chew up a ton of clock. They're going down the field, converting on 3rd down, converting on 4th down. I think they converted on 2 previous 4th downs. They get another opportunity, 4th and 3, I think on the 23-yard line, and for some reason they kick a field goal. You got to keep that momentum going. What are you doing, guys? Then the first play of the game for the Eagles, what's probably the main focus of the Commanders' defense going into that game? Well, we probably want to slow down Barkley here. You allow him to run the ball 60 yards for a goddamn touchdown. In the first quarter, they should have challenged a Devontae Smith catch. He was clearly out of bounds. And then the fumbles were absolutely, completely pathetic. 3 fumbles, especially Eckler. When that game was still in reach, it was towards the end of the third quarter. They were driving. They had a little bit of momentum going. Eckler, a veteran, you bring this guy over, one of the leaders of the team. You got to hold on to the ball. So I always put that when a team is so sloppy, so undisciplined, you got to put that on the coach. I know they were a great story, and we've been calling them winners all season. How great of a story is this? But that was a pathetic performance by the Commanders yesterday. It's a shame that they upset the Lions. The Lions blew it for us, and that cost us a good game. The Commanders absolutely stunk. Bad job by pretty much everybody on that team. Jingles, who were your biggest losers of the day yesterday?
Well, it's a 3-pack out of the gates from Buffalo. It's Kaiir Elam, Dalton Kincaid, and Keon Coleman. Elam somehow was a first-round pick and was absolutely awful in coverage in place of Christian Benford. As soon as he went down, things went south quickly, and he got picked on. They talked about it in between the quarters about the adjustments that they had to make. Dalton Kincaid, another first-round pick. He had 2 catches, 13 yards. Somehow Josh Allen does everything he can on that 4th and long play to get the ball out. Corner blitz, scrambles to his right, 3 guys in his face, throws an absolute dot that goes off the shoulder pads of a falling down former first-round pick who they said was going to be the leader of this offense. Guess what? No. And then Keon Coleman. We mentioned that fade. That was just an awful call. 3rd and goal. Good thing Josh Allen bailed him out. But they traded back with Kansas City, who got Xavier Worthy. They also didn't take Ladd McConkey. And how about no James Cook? Oh, excuse me. Wow. How about no James Cook? That's how frustrating that final drive was. And there's my voice gone just because shouting at this Buffalo and Joe Brady offense. Joe, jump in.
All right, buddy. Well, go grab a cup of water if you want to. We'll finish off the NFL segment here. So, yeah, we want to talk about the lines here. What did we bet already? Absolutely beautiful. I remember when I first started working in this industry, probably 7 or 8 years ago, you used to need to wait at least a couple of days for all these props to come out. Of course, you get a line, a spread, and a total for the game. But I come in this morning, or come down to my little office here in my basement and crack open the sports books. They got lines up for basically everything. So what have I bet already? I'm on the Kansas City Chiefs here, guys. If you want to beat the Chiefs, it's kind of like you have to beat the shit out of them. And that was what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were able to do against them in that Super Bowl a couple of years ago with Tom Brady. There were some extenuating circumstances in that one. You remember the Chiefs had two offensive linemen go down. That weird thing with Andy Reid's son when he got arrested. And some accident with some kid. Just like some really weird energy. And they got the shit kicked out of them. And the Bucs were really good. They had a really good defensive game plan. I don't think the Eagles have the ability to just beat the shit out of them. So if it's a tight game, who are you going to be on? And that was the feeling I had. It was a tight game, fourth quarter, second half. And I'm thinking yesterday, I want the Bills to win, but there's no way they're beating the Kansas City Chiefs. So I like the Chiefs as a 1.5 favorite. I bet P. Ryan, longest reception. It was 7.5 yesterday. For some reason, it's down to 6.5. They bring this guy out for one play every game, basically. It's like, okay, we need to get a first down. We need to get 8-9 yards here. Okay, let's sneak P. Ryan in there and dump one off to him and let him run the ball for 10 yards. It hit in 13 straight games to close out the regular season, by the way. And one guy I like on the Eagles, Goddard, I think 48.5. I forget what I bet it at. His over under receiving yards. The Chiefs, one of the worst teams in the NFL at defending the tight end position. So those are the three bets I've made. I will have a lot more as we build up to the game. Jingles, have you hit the bet button on anything yet? Have you regained your voice here?
Yeah, I apologize. It's just been a long week of trialing and battling something, but here we are. No James Cook on that final drive, Joe. Like, James Cook was the only guy in that offense going, too. And, like, you bring in Ty Johnson constantly. Goodness gracious. And we were joking about it pre-show about it's not players who always shrink in big times. Sometimes you see coordinators and play callers just absolutely shrink. And you saw it in Buffalo. I can't imagine how angry people are that old James Cook wasn't on the field. In terms of betting, like, if I miss the early Kansas City money, that's fine. But I think I'm going to wait to the 2.5. Hopefully it gets to the 2.5 and then go Philadelphia money line. I just think Philly roster wise is the better team up and down. I think the rest will give them some time to, I mean, that was a team that was playing with a guarded center and then their center wasn't playing and then he had to come back in. So their run game is going to be a lot better under center. There were some questionable snaps that offense. They still dominated everything. A little more help with the defense and the rest. I like this Philadelphia team, and I think somewhere around plus 120, I think that's going to be a buy for me on the money line. On a prop world, wasn't it insane just to see every prop market open already today? You're like, wow, you had everything ready to go. My first look was kind of Patrick Mahomes volume passing, something in attempts, something in completions over like 21.5. But like he's just been so efficient. And they haven't had a lot of play volume just because of they go down. The defense is kind of giving up, like just what we saw in the Buffalo game, giving up a lot of plays. So kind of waiting to see where that goes, where the market goes. But Xavier Worthy for a rushing over 4.5 rushing yards, something that's the only thing I've put into the account. He had his two carries there. You know, just this offense doesn't really have an alpha back in terms of Isaiah Pacheco roles keep shortening. We saw Kareem Hunt, but let's be honest, Kareem Hunt's not a guy who's going to get 17 carries in a game. He's been great in the goal line, but between the 20s, he's not there. So this is a Andy Reid and Matt Nagy offense that gets wildly creative, especially on third downs, where you see Xavier Worthy and his 4.21 speed get used in that running game. He had two carries last game. You saw it, I believe, Sky Moore had two carries 2 years ago. Rashee Rice had two carries in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. So they're not afraid to bring out these plays. And I think in these bigger stages, when you have that much experience, it's easy to be creative, right? Like, and know which spots to be creative, not Ben Johnson creative in big spots. So No one has more experience doing it. So I really like this Xavier Worthy over rushing market.
Yeah, I would have taken the Eagles over the Bills. Like, I'm watching that game yesterday with the Bills, and I'm like, there's not a whole lot of, like, dependable guys you look at. Like, if you look at that Eagles roster, it's ridiculous. They have, like, an incredible 1-2 punch at wide receiver. Two very different type of guys. You have a great tight end in Goddard. You have probably the best running back in the NFL right now. I don't think that's very debatable with Barkley. A decent QB and Hurts, the offensive line. Then you look at the defense, and then it's like, okay, who are the big standout talent guys here on the Bills? It's like, well, Allen and Cook's underrated. Milano is pretty good on defense there, but yeah, not a whole lot. Yeah, I think we'll see them make a bit of a splash here potentially in the offseason and get some more talent in there.
But this is a big step up, for Kansas City, right, in terms of defensive matchup and, like, just head-to-head matchup across every position versus that offensive line. I mean, they faced Houston. Let's be honest. Wasn't a great offense down the stretch. Coordinator gone, right? Buffalo, yeah. You just tried to name it. You're like, that receiving group was – absolutely awful. Like, you bring in Amari Cooper and it's just like, okay, he's another Mac Hollins, basically. Like, Mac Hollins was your best receiver in that game. He spent back-to-back years of first-round draft capital on pass catchers, and you had nothing to show for it. But now you're stuck. Philadelphia is big, but as a lot of handicapping is going to go, it's going to be, yes, they have the advantage in personnel up and down the lineup, but you have to give the coach and quarterback edge to Kansas City for sure.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how they deploy Travis Kelce in the Super Bowl, because a lot of people, if you're like me, I'm out here pushing this, hey, he's gone over his over-under receiving yard total in the playoffs or whatever the number was set at. He had gone over that in 13 straight games. I was pushing that. I bet that. A lot of people bet that. And he might have got, what, 3 or 4 targets all game? Like, he dropped one, too. But, different type of game planning. That's what you're going to get with the Kansas City Chiefs. They spread the ball around pretty good. Hopkins wasn't a big part of the game yesterday, but who knows? Maybe he will be in the Super Bowl. Okay, Jingles, so we're going to be all over this thing. We're actually recording our Before You Bet Super Bowl special later on in the week. It's going to be my best bets, your best bets, Hitman's best bets, Jake Butt's best bets, John Middlecoff's best bets. We're going to put it all together. Instead of spreading everything out over 2 weeks, it's going to be just a nice, compact, convenient way for you guys to consume what we like for the Super Bowl. So we're targeting getting that done towards the end of the week. So we will keep you posted. But Before You Bet, still coming strong Monday through Friday all week this week. So Jingles, we will catch you later on in the week for that Super Bowl betting special. Best of luck with your avalanche of handicapping. And we'll see you later.
All right, pal. Appreciate it. Good luck.
Indeed. Okay. JPC fourth. I did laugh when TB12 flat out said Eckler fumbles because he has dinky hands. I like Tom Brady in the booth. I know a lot of people don't like Tom Brady in general, but he calls the players out a little bit. I think this is something that the fans like. A lot of these guys, they're player friendly. You don't want to go overboard. You don't want to be Skip Bayless in there, calling people names and calling everyone a disgrace whenever you get an opportunity to do it. But sometimes guys deserve to get criticized and called out. I think Tom Brady does a good job of that. Okay, let us shift gears from the NFL to the NBA. We'll be talking a lot more NBA here in about 2 weeks' time. And if we're talking NBA, we're doing it with our guy, John Mettler. John, how are you making out?
Good. Yeah. There was only the one game yesterday for NBA. So I was watching football with my dad and he was pretty happy because he hit a lot of bets that we gave out on Before You Bet. So that was good.
Ooh, did he tail my P Ryan bet?
He did not tail the Smaji P Ryan, but I was thinking the exact same thing on that last play when he caught. I was like, Joe just won his bet. And, just right at the end there, right at the gun last play. So that's pretty cool.
I had completely forgot about it. I saw him swing it out. I didn't even clue in that could be him because I don't even know how many snaps. He probably had less than 10 snaps that entire game. I did not know a snap count, but better late than never. Never in doubt. Okay, so we got 5 bets tonight in the NBA. Why don't you get us started here? Daniel Gafford, what do you like for him tonight?
Yeah, I want Daniel Gafford over 16.5 points. This has been moving. So it did open 15.5, about minus 105. It's up to 16.5. You have seen some 17.5. The 16.5 minus 115 is still on the board. It kind of tells you, obviously, there's something there. It's moving pretty aggressively. It's just So they always split time with the Mavericks. It's Daniel Gafford splits time with Derek Lively. Usually Derek Lively gets the better of him in those minutes. They just kind of lean on Lively a little bit more, but Lively's out for an extended period of time. So this is all Daniel Gafford now. So you're looking at Gafford playing about, you know, 30 to like 34 minutes. That's kind of like his range right now. And he, you don't really think of him as like a scorer, but he, go look at his box scores. He puts up a ton of points. He's not necessarily like a shooter, but just like as a lob threat, hitting the boards, putting it in. So I just think they're trying to adjust this to make up for the fact that Lively isn't playing and they just haven't got there yet. And obviously the market's helping them because it's pushing it quite a bit again today. The thing is he was traded from the Wizards to the Mavericks. He's playing the Wizards tonight. So again, you have that like mathematical edge in like the number, but you also have that like personal side of it. Like this is obviously a meaningful game for him. It's one he's probably going to get up for, have a little more energy. And on the interior too, he's going against Alex Sarr, who's a rookie. So like Gafford's a handful for some of the best defenders on the boards and as like a lob threat. And just the Mavericks guards too. It's like, is Jordan Poole going to keep Kyrie Irving out of the lane and who can set up lobs to Daniel Gafford? Probably not. So I like the over for Gafford.
Daniel Gafford revenge game. Speaking of revenge games, potential for a Carson Wentz revenge game in the Super Bowl here. Could you imagine? Mahomes gets injured. Wentz comes in. He is the hero against his former team. A storybook ending potentially to the Super Bowl. Nuggets are in Chicago. And I'm going to take the Nuggets. Pretty big number here. 9 points. Do not be scared of the big number here because lopsided wins have become a pattern for Denver. 7 of their last 10 games have seen them win by double digits. Since December 23rd, their average win has come by 17.7 points. So lopsided wins have become a pattern. So has bouncing back after a bad loss. So they had a bad loss on Saturday. They lost by 29 points against the Timberwolves. But check this out. Over the last month and change here, they lost the game to Houston by 20. They turn around their next game. They beat the Miami Heat by 20. They lose to Boston by 12. Turn around their next game, beat the Clippers by 23. They lose to the Cavs by 14. They beat Detroit by 13 in the next game. They lost to Washington by 9. The game after that, they destroyed the Hawks by 30. So they've been fantastic at bouncing back lately. Statistically, not even close here. Second versus 25th in net rating over the last 10 games. The Nuggets are top five in both EFG shooting percentage and opponent EFG shooting percentage in that span as well. So give me the Nuggets to bounce back. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, before you get into your pick, do you know anyone in your personal life with the first name Kentavious?
I do not. And that me neither. I think that's the longest. Is it the longest name in the NBA? I know when we do the graphics, we don't put his full name. He's the only player we don't. So,
we fit her in.
Yeah. No. Sorry. On social, we don't put his full name. Okay. I questioned this last week. I was like, no respect for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Yeah, don't put the last name, but I'm going Kentavious Caldwell KCP over 8.5 points. So obviously, the Magic have been all over the place, right? For a while, they're like KCP. Anthony Black, all these guys had to create all their offense. Well, Banchero, Franz Wagner, Jalen Suggs, they've all come back. So now this takes the pressure off of KCP from like a creation standpoint. And he is a catch and shoot guy. That's just his role. So now that you have like Banchero, Wagner, Suggs, all these guys back who can create for him. And obviously you need to help on Banchero. You need to help on Franz Wagner. So this opens up just easier shots for KCP, but his total's coming down because technically his usage would be less. And then you're looking at the matchup against the Miami Heat. When you're just looking up how like the primary defenders might line up, he's going to catch Tyler Hero or Duncan Robinson as his primary defender. That's obviously that's a really good matchup for him. So you could just see him, that usage kind of increase just a little bit for him, like being on the ball, because they're going to want to attack those guys. Like Bam Adebayo will probably be on Banchero. So KCP is a matchup they'd want to attack. I want to say he had like 24 against the Heat earlier this year. And I don't know for sure. I think that's probably what his highest output from the points category with the Magic. I know he hasn't had many high scoring games, so he's already burned them once. 8.5 just felt like really low for the matchup against the Heat, so I want the over.
Okay, next up for me, a team I've been betting on a lot here this season, the LA Clippers. Gonna bet on them again. They are favored by a single point against the Phoenix Suns. A lot of trends for this one. So consistency, this has been a major issue for Phoenix all season. Check this out. They are 4-17-1 against the spread after a win. They are coming off a win versus the Wizards on Saturday. Congratulations on that. And the Suns have been pretty unimpressive versus quality competition. You might see that, hey, they're stacking up some wins here lately here in January 2025. Look at a lot of the teams that they're getting these wins against. Wizards, Nets, Jazz, Hornets, Sixers. Meanwhile, since Christmas, losses to Dallas, Golden State, Memphis, Indiana, Cleveland. Beating up on bad teams, losing the good ones. A little fraudulent here, potentially. And the Clippers, they just keep cashing as a favorite. They are the best bet in the NBA as a favorite. They are 15-5 against the spread as a favorite. Suns 3-10 against the spread slide as an underdog. Clippers playing good basketball lately. We'll take them to cover and obviously win tonight in Phoenix. And let's wrap things up with a bit of a big one, a little bit of a swing here in SGP. What do you got cooked up, John?
Yeah, also the chat saying Nikhil Alexander-Walker tying Kentavious Caldwell-Pope for longest most characters. So that's a good one. Because I know Shai Gilgeous-Alexander makes it on the graphics. But anyways, let's go. We're going to SGP, Mavericks Wizards, plus 490. So obviously I like Gafford. I kind of highlight that with the straight bet. I think you can go up to 20-plus points. The thing, I also put 10-plus rebounds because he's not really someone who like creates his own offense without getting on the board. So like if to me, if he's going to hit an alt over, he's got to get the rebounds too. It's just, he's going to grab offensive boards, lay it in, dunk, get to the free throw line. So I feel like the rebounds and points, putting them together really plays with him, especially once again against the Wizards, because it's not like they have like some amazing front court. Alex Sarr is kind of your guy protecting the rim. Jonas Valanciunas is there as well. I also put Spencer Dinwiddie, 4-plus assists. His total is 4.5, so I just went down to the 4. For Dinwiddie, he really works with Gafford, and I feel like he'll also probably catch the best matchup from like a creation standpoint. I imagine Bilal Coulibaly. I'm not entirely sure. I imagine Bilal Coulibaly will be on Kyrie Irving, and then Jordan Poole will be on Spencer Dinwiddie, and a lot of Dinwiddie's assists do go to Gafford, so it's just kind of like pairing it all together. I wanted to put the majority of this SGP, I wanted to put the pressure on Gafford, so that's why I went Dinwiddie 4-plus and dropped him down from 4.5, because I want the alt overs more for Gafford than Dinwiddie, so that's the SGP, plus 490.
SGP. Okay, that does it for the picks on today's show. Do we have a recap graphic? 3, 2, there we go. Okay, let's see how we do. Nuggets, -9. Clippers, -1. Daniel Gafford, over 16.5. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, let's show him the proper respect, over 8.5 points. And the SGP, plus 490 for the big Mavs-Wizards game tonight. Okay, so that does it for today's show. We're going to be right back with you guys tomorrow. More NBA, of course. Professional sports better Hitman will be here in his traditional Tuesday spot. Get his thoughts on the early numbers here for the Super Bowl. We're going to get some Super Bowl betting advice from him as well for the casual bettors out there. So thank you to both fellas for joining today. Jingles and Mettler, thank you to producer Mick, off to a fantastic start with that recap graphic. Thank you to our sponsor, BetMGM. Make sure you check them out for all your Super Bowl betting needs in NBA as well, and college basketball and NHL. And the biggest thank you of all goes out to all the great viewers for tuning in, especially the guys in the live chat. If you're watching the replay, hit up that comment section right down there. Who do you like in the Super Bowl? Let us know why. Any props you like as well, let us know. Give us a little write-up. Give us a little angle. What are you taking? Okay, so that does it for today. Thank you guys for joining. Best of luck with all of your bets, and we will catch you again tomorrow. Let's go, Clippers! Woo!